Amen.
Well, very good. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Anybody need a worksheet that did not receive one? Slip your hand up. Got a few over here. Down the aisle here. If you did not receive one, please hold your hand up till they get to you. I was telling Janet, I didn't exactly plan this on purpose. I just kind of go until we run out of time and preach. And this morning's message and this evening's message kind of hit the same topic from kind of two different angles. So that really wasn't the plan. We're talking about, we've been talking about for such a time as this, and it's high time to awake and become as much like Christians as we can be. We can't fight flesh with flesh. You can't win the world with more of the world. We think we can. We think that's the way it is. We've been convinced of the world that that's the way we're supposed to do it. But God is greater is He than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in you than he is in the world. And sometimes we don't realize that. We don't understand that. We don't even live by that. And by faith, we're supposed to deal with these things the way God says. And often there's kind of a disconnect between what God is asking us to do and what we'd like to see happen. And of course, first of all, we need to decide we want what God wants, not necessarily what we want. But again, when God asks us to yield to Him and surrender, it's not ours to ask why or how or all this stuff. Just simply, what? When? I'll do it. And then do what He asks us to do, and then we watch God work. One of the scriptures we have seen here, we need to turn it over to Him, commit it to Him who judges righteously. You say, we don't know. Have you ever had somebody say, I know that's what they thought. I know that's what they meant. I know they were doing it just to be mean. I know they were just, do you really? Do you really? Are you really inside their head? Well, I just know who they are. I just know what they were. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not right. Maybe there's more going on than that. Maybe they're hurting you because they've been hurt. And maybe they were hurt by you. Or maybe you hurt them, you didn't know you hurt them. There's all kinds of things that go on. We just make assumptions, and before long, we've come up with a whole scenario. We're judge, jury, and executioner. When really, what we should have done was leave it into God's hands. I think we forget that God's watching. I think we forget that God's in control. I think we forget that God knows what He's doing, and we get ourselves into trouble. Now, we were talking about that, and how to. We have a high, it's high time to do something about what's going on in our world because it's perilous times, and we have the perilous times, but we have good times. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. Now, this is very similar in that we've been going through the life of faith that we went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and now we're in Joseph, the next generation here. And Joseph had a special calling on his life, and God, literally, in a dream, he had a calling on his life. He didn't understand the calling, wasn't sure how it was going to work. God was just giving him a little inkling of where he's going to be. It's almost like he said, to Joseph, just so you know, I got something big for you. It's almost like, just so you know, when everything's going haywire, because God knew what was going to happen, when your family turns against you, because God knew that was going to happen, when you get falsely accused, because God knew that was going to happen, I want you to know that I've called you to glory and virtue. I've got a big plan for you. Don't run scared. Don't get upset. Hang tight. Now, here's the thing. To do that takes a walk of faith. That's where most of us live every day. The Bible says this is what we're supposed to do. Here's how we're supposed to do it. You say, well, what does that have to do with trying to get where I want to go? It has everything to do with being the fact that you're walking with God. If you're walking with God, you will get where you're supposed to go. If you're not walking with God, you're not going to go. Listen, God's going to go right past your stop. You walk with Him, and you may not like where you're going to end up. You don't be where you're going through. But the fact is, you walk with Him, you're going to walk right where He wanted you to be. Now, to do that doesn't always make sense. And again, this is one of those passages that doesn't seem like it goes together with what we're trying to talk about, but does go together with walking with God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Now remember, Peter in the early days, open mouth, exchange feet. Kind of presumptuous. Maybe a little overbearing once in a while. Kind of full of himself sometimes. And that he learned some things through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the times as he was serving him. And look what he says toward the end of his life when he writes Peter. It says, verse 13, chapter 2 of 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Didn't say because it was right. Now again, I understand, you obey God rather than man. So, you know, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you're not going to lie, not going to do anything of that. But if there's no, you say, well, it's going to cost me extra money. Don't worry about that. It's going to cost me extra labor. Don't worry about that. Well, I don't really like it. Well, don't worry about that. If it's not immoral, illegal, or unbiblical, well, then go ahead and do it. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, watch, for the Lord's sake. In other words, this is what the Lord wants you to do. For the sake of the Lord's name, for the sake of the Lord's reputation. He says, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, watch, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, I read that article this morning from that atheist gal who basically turned her back on God because, now she doesn't have an excuse. Creation itself declares his glory. The invisible things of God are seen by the power and Godhead in the creation. I understand that. But we shouldn't be living in such a way that we kind of repel people from following the Lord. As you said, what we said we believed on what the church you grew up in, what they said they believed on Sunday had nothing to do with Monday through Friday. I remember a young man that was my age. He's not young anymore. But I remember him not going to church anymore. And I remember one of the things him saying not long before he stopped going. He said, you know so-and-so teaches Sunday school? I said, yeah. Boy, you ought to see him at the work site on Monday. I said, what? Yeah, my dad, he's a contractor. He uses him to do a lot of the plumbing. Boy, you ought to hear what comes out of his mouth. You ought to see how he deals with this and deals with that. Isn't that a shame? He says, listen, we need to be well-doing to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You say, well, they just don't know what all God can do. And no, they don't. And maybe the reason they don't is because they don't want to hear. And the reason they don't want to hear is because we're a hindrance to it. He says, listen, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. No, give them proper honor. I'll be honest with you. In these days, it's rather difficult. You talk about leadership and politicians and all this stuff going on, and if we're not careful, we're not very honoring even their position. Well, they're wicked people. I understand. But you realize they're a soul that God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for? He says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. I'll tell you, there's so much bickering and contention and stuff in churches these days. Now, we don't have much of that around here, but I'll tell you what, it could be around a lot. He says, fear God. Why did he stick that in there? You know what? There's a lot of things we wouldn't do, we wouldn't say, if we actually really thought about the fact that God's looking over our shoulder. Honor the king. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy of the man for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrong. We talked about this last week. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and you still suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. For even hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. God went through a lot. The Lord Jesus went through an awful lot to pay for our sins so that we could have the Holy Spirit living in us so that we wouldn't live unrighteously, and we turn right around and live unrighteously anyway. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are ye now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's pray real quick. Talking about a life of faith, we're equipped for the call. He said, we are hereunto called. Okay, now we're talking about the equipping. Well, I can't do this. Nope, you can't. But God, who has died for our sins, is now living inside of you, and you are equipped. Do you use the equipment? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you give us to understand these things. So many times we're not careful. We'll say, well, we can't do it. We're casting blame because of this and this and this. And our hands are tied and we're casting blame here and there and yon on other people. When the fact is, Lord, you could have done anything. And sometimes we wonder why you haven't. And maybe the reason, timing may be, is part of it. I understand that. But maybe the reason is we've actually hindered the work that you've been doing. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. Give us your Holy Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we've been going through the life of the patriarchs. We're up to Joseph. Life took a very difficult turn for a young man with hopes and dreams. And I'm assuming that remember that story. Now, God calls us to follow him. But when he does so, he says we are to take up our cross and follow him. Following the Lord may not always be easy. It may seldom be easy. And like Joseph, our family may turn on us when we try to do right. They may sell us out. We may be falsely accused. We may be forgotten. God calls us, but God will equip us to fulfill our calling if we will take it. Now, on your paper, again, just to keep it all in one place, God has a purpose. He has a purpose for each of our lives. Overall, the purpose for all of us, here it is to bring glory to God. Why do we need to bring glory to him? Because he wants a pat on the back? No. Bringing glory to God means we're going to let someone else see who God is, because he's going to draw all, if he's lifted up, he draws all men on him. Well, what good is that? So their soul is saved too. It's not about us. Listen, we'll get to do a lot of good living once we're on the other side. Right now, we can either waste our lives on a lot of junk, or we can actually be using our lives to do something for him. Now, however, since we cannot all do all things that need to be done, God has, watch, specific purposes for each of us. God's purpose for my life is not the same as it is for yours, and yours is not the same as the person next door to you. God has a purpose. We're all part of the body of Christ. So don't Don't try to come up, measure yourself by what somebody else is doing. Don't measure your success by what having done what somebody else did or what you think they're going to do or what their calling is. That has nothing to do with it. We have the van out here at the that we use to run kids around the other day. Just wouldn't start. So, you know, we're running around. Well, we're talking about batteries and we're talking about starters and this and that thing. It was a little solenoid, if I remember right. This little doodad that makes a connection that allows you to turn the doggone thing on. That van is totally worthless without that little doodad right there that makes a connection that turns it on. See, we're looking for the engine. Well, that's fine, but the engine won't start if you don't have that little thingy there to do its job. God has a purpose for us. Our job is to get in and let God work his purpose. Now, God has a purpose. Of course, you know these now. Number two, God has a plan to help us fulfill our purpose. A plan for us, a plan for the world. So God, you say, well, how am I supposed to do it? Well, see, God has made a promise. And God has called us to glory and virtue. God has made a promise. Now, God has problems. Number four, things happen. Well, okay. Well, the promise goes out the window. No, God has a promise. And yes, there's problems. But problems are no problem for God. And like I've said before, sometimes he works around the problem. Sometimes he solves the problem. Sometimes he uses the problem. But God, problems are not a problem. Why? Because number five, God has power. God has the power to do it. You say, well, I've never seen it. Maybe we have not committed ourselves to him who judges righteously, put ourselves in his hand, and by faith allowed him to do the work. Maybe sometimes we're just fighting ourselves. We're fighting him. I know that's what it says, but it just doesn't make sense. And we think we're so smart. You know what? Again, it doesn't. Listen. We think we're so smart. It makes no sense for God to open up the Red Sea and let him go across. Now, who would even have thought of that? There's no problem with God. See, we're trying to think this thing through, but we're thinking in a finite mind. We're not thinking about the immense options that God has. Nothing is outside of his reach. So God has the power. Now, underneath of that, we had a second little plan here, outline. God's plan may include difficult times. It very well will. But God's plan includes glory. In other words, he's planning on getting someplace that's good. Getting there may be through the valley of shadow of death. Number three, the road to glory is most often not an easy road. When we are called of God, we're often called to pass through a variety of things on our way to the glory and virtue. But if we're walking with him, in the light with him, we will get there. In the calling, we're called to serve, we're called to surrender, we're called to exercise courage, we're called to exercise love, we're called to care for others, we're called to suffer. Now, number four, we kind of ended up here last time, and I want to kind of give you a couple things real quick. The call of Christ is upon us. We just read it. As Christ was called, we're called. As the Father has sent me, he said, so send I you. We are the body of Christ. He said, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, it's going to be tough for you too. But the fact is, God can do all these things through you. Again, we have not resisted unto blood. We really got it pretty easy. Like Brother Brandon was saying here a few minutes ago, we think we've sacrificed a lot because we give a Sunday afternoon or something. We have a call of Christ upon us. That call, just as we read in our passage here, is a call to submission to man. Let me watch this. Down to verse 14. Or unto governors, as to them that are sent by him for a punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. Watch. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's our call, to do right. Listen, every time we are faced with an issue and we do wrong, it just fuels their fire. When we do not submit, but we behave like the rest of the world, We just add fuel to the doubter's fire that there is whether there's anything different about Christians. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know what I'm saying? I know whose daddy they are. That must be God's boy. Our children tend, after a while, they tend to be a lot like we are. I'm sorry. I remember as a kid, one of the things that folks used to say to my father, well, you can't deny that boy. I'm glad he wasn't trying to, but you can't deny that boy. Now, I look just like him. I still do. You know, I've walked with him, talked with him. Mannerisms are like him. I'm so much like my dad. It's amazing. I look in the mirror, there he is. But he was a good man, and he was an honest man. And be honest with you, when in the little town I grew up in, a lot like Little Dover, but you know, we're talking about, you know, 50 years ago. Wow. 50 years ago, when I was 8, I could walk downtown, oh, you're Sterling's boy. When I was a little boy, I said, oh, you did, well, I was falsely accused. Well, no, Sterling, that's all right. No, I'm sure. Because I know where you came from. Listen, our testimony should be we're the children of God. When they look at us, they hear us, they see us, what we do in life, they say, obviously, there's somebody who walks with God. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians. If the bell rings on your side, open the door. That when things get tough, you say, well, when I do wrong, I own up to it. Well, that's good. You should. But what happens when you don't do wrong? You do well, and you still get jumped on. Where are you? When somebody shakes your box, what comes flying out? That will determine whether we put the doubter's words to silence or whether we don't. Those times are the opportunity to show what you're really made of. And the fact is, we do show what we're really made of. Well, I bit my tongue. Well, then wait a minute. You're still, all you did was put a thumb on the junk that was going to come out and you stopped the junk. I'm not talking about just stopping the junk. I'm talking about getting rid of the junk so there's no, you can leave the lid open and when you're shaking, it doesn't come out. I'm talking about being a new creation in Christ. Well, I just have a temper, just the way I am. I know, and God can forgive you. God can forgive you. He says, we're supposed to, as free, he says, and not using your liberty. So, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Well, good for you. What about the other guy over here? What about that guy who is trying to decide whether he ought to trust Christ or not? What about him? Every time, listen, when we act like the world in front of the world, we're encouraging the world to stay in the world. You know what we're saying? Go to hell. I don't care. That's what we're saying. Doesn't matter if I chase you off. I don't think that's what Christ would do. Well, I have liberty. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, lolly-da, good for you. As free, watch, we're free from sin, and we're free to live righteously, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Well, it doesn't matter what I say because I'm still going to heaven. Not using our liberty for the cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. And as servants of God, we submit to the power the Lord has ordained. Letter B, we're called to serve. We talked about that, subject to masters. And letter C, called to be like the Savior. Letter D, we're called to submission. We've covered all those. I won't spend a lot of time because I'll get behind myself again. A call to submission of God, verse 23. Look at the last part of that verse. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. This is such a key point. This is where faith is applied. You're telling me that I've got to put up with it. You tell me they're running my name through the mud, and I'm not supposed to go around there, and I'm not supposed to raise a stick about it. You're telling me I'm saying God knows. God knew when Joseph was thrown in a pit by his brothers. He knew. God knew when they sold him to the slave traders and took him to Egypt. God knew. Now here's this little Jewish boy. Now all of a sudden he's in Potiphar's house. God knew. God knew when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him and they threw him in prison. God knew. But when he decided he wasn't going to sit there and be bitter, he decided that he was going to do right. And the Lord was with him. God knew. And all of a sudden he was overseeing the prisoners. God knew when he gave Joseph the ability to interpret the dreams for the butler and the baker. God knew when the butler forgot him for another 2 years. But God knew where he was when Pharaoh needed to have his dream interpreted. I think it's interesting when Pharaoh says, boy, so we're going to have 7 years of bad time, of famine, and seven years of good year and a plenty, and 7 years of famine. Well, we need to come up with somebody to oversee this. He didn't go, ooh, ooh, pick me, ooh, 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 ooh. He just said, you ought to find somebody who can do that. We said, well, I think you're the one. He didn't stick his nose in there. He didn't put his 2 cents in there. You know what he did? He committed himself to him who judges righteously. Well, I'll tell you this. If he had been, see, God knows the heart. If he had been bitter about this, about his brothers all this time, angry, when he got sold to Potiphar probably wouldn't have bought him. If he's an angry, fierce, furious person, he probably wouldn't have bought somebody else and put out in the field someplace. But where did he end up? Living high on the hog. That's not good for a Jewish boy, but he was living high on the hog. Huh? When he got cast into prison, second time, bitter, angry, could have been. But no. He could have been put in solitary confinement. Well, you know, they're not going to do that to me. Yeah, a lot of good that did. No, he did right. And all of a sudden, he's right there underneath the prison guard, overseeing things again. What I'm saying is we need to put ourselves in the hands of him who judges righteously. Submit yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. Now, when he does, you say, well, I can't do that. Well, be honest with you, I think we could decide some things and do it in the fear of God. I really do. But listen, Joseph did it. But we really don't have an excuse. Because, see, we have the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what. I think we refuse. We refuse to forgive. We refuse to let them off the hook. We refuse to just accept the circumstances and make the best out of them. We refuse to turn it over and commit it to him who judges righteously because this isn't right, and we're going to make sure. Either we make it right or everybody knows this is not right. One way or the other, we're going to get our 2 cents in here. Number 5, God equips us for our calling. I got a lot of scripture here. I'm trying not to spend a lot of time here. I think you get the idea. God equips us for our calling. Letter A, God's plan. See, part of the plan, he's got a plan for us. Part of that plan is to mold us into his image. Listen, the parallel between Joseph and Jesus is amazing. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was falsely accused, he did not bite back. There was no guile found in his mouth. In fact, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But because they received him not, and what they tried to do against him turned out to give him an opportunity to save their life. And when he did it, he didn't do it grudgingly. He cried and wept on their neck. We haven't got to yet, but he cried and wept on their neck for the opportunity to save their soul when they're not lost. Now, you know what? And we'll see this here in a little while. Their brothers were a mess. Why did he love them? Why did he even care? I think somehow in his heart, he feared God and said, I'm just going to leave it in God's hands, and I'm going to do right. Now take your Bible, or no, you have it there, don't you? No, you don't. Take your Bible and turn to Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8. Keep it with you. God's plan is to mold us into his image. Romans 8, 28. You know this verse. But look what it's not all by itself. See, we like to grab Romans 8, 28 and pull it out. All things work together for good to those who love God according to his purpose. You know, boom, that's great. Put it in context here. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I ask you to do. If you love me, really, you would do what I said. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, he's not talking about saved, calling you to get saved, and somebody called and somebody didn't call. He has a purpose for you. And he is making things work together according to your calling, the purpose he has on your life. Something that might be working me to move me in a certain direction may not get you where you need to be. But God is working in your life individually for your purpose, your specific calling. Now, it's not going to go against his word, but he's working. He's got a thing for you going. He's got a plan for you. For watch. For whom he did foreknow, God has a plan. He also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate to be conformed to his image, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, I'm not going to get into all that for us here tonight, but the fact is, he says, I knew who you were. I've got a plan for you. So I'm calling you to follow that plan, and that plan, of course, is to be like Christ, to be like Christ. And so he has that purpose, and he's going to work that out. So, but we can't do the calling of Christ without being like Christ. So he is conforming us to mold us into to be like Christ. Now, right underneath that, let me just say this real quick. This is kind of general statement. God is love, right? And he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. God is light, not darkness. God, the things of God turns the light on truth. It doesn't veil it in shadows. And number four, God is truth. So if we're going to be like Christ, we're going to have love in our heart. That means we're willing to forgive and forget. That means we're willing to listen, we get falsely accused, we're willing to take it. We're willing to live righteously even when we have unrighteousness dealt to us, because, wait a minute, we're trying to put to silence the ignorance of the foolish. They think what we believe is foolish. They think it's stupid. They think we're crazy. And the fact is, most of what they've been seeing the last 100 years has not been good Christianity. I mean, in general, across the world. They've seen religion. They've seen ritual. You go back to the Middle Ages, you had the Crusades. By the way, the Baptists were not part of the Crusades. They were the Catholics. Just so you know, that's not the way you win the world of Christ. Killing folks. That's what the Muslims do. They were like the world. And you know what? I can't tell you how many, I'll be a bunch over the years. You're a Christian. Well, what about the Crusades? They're blaming us. Well, I know Christians who had slaves. Listen, I never had slaves. My dad never had slaves. My granddad never had slaves. Don't blame me for slavery. I'm not in on that. Well, the Christians thought the earth was flat. That was their scientists at that time. It wasn't the Christians. The Christians knew their book. They know the world hang on nothing. The sphere of the earth, the circle of the earth. Where our calling is to be like Christ, to be put in His image. He's equipping us. Letter B. God has the power to equip us. God has the power to equip us. Romans 8:12. We're going to back up a few verses here. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why, those that are led by God are the sons of God. That's why when we are peacemakers, we're called the children of God. They must be being led by God, because that's what God does. That's not what man does. Man would be fighting about this. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit self-bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Watch. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with Him. In other words, if we allow to suffer, doesn't always mean just suffer. It also means they suffered this to happen. And that's all part of the idea. If we're willing to take what comes at us, leaving it in the hands of Him who judges righteously, we are doing what Jesus did. He took whatever came at Him and committed to Him who judges righteously. So when we take what's coming and put it in His hands, we're allowing it to happen. We're not returning back, reviling those who revile us. We're not putting anger to anger. We're like Him. We're being like Him. We're allowing the Spirit of Christ to live through us. If that's the case, we will also be glorified together. They will say, there's a child of God. There's somebody who's different. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What's he saying? Well, I've been falsely accused. What are you going to do? I'm going to do right. Well, they're persecuting you. You just got knocked out of peg in your job, and somebody who doesn't deserve it just got ahead of it. What are you going to do? I'm going to do right. Well, you're sitting in jail, and you said, "What are you going to do?" I'm going to do right. I'm going to leave myself and commit myself to the hands of Him who judges righteously. Now, I'm not saying you can't get a lawyer or something getting there false. I'm not saying you can't. But don't turn around and act like the rest of the world when you're in the midst of it all. The bitterness and the anger and the malice and the clamor and the evil speaking and all those kind of things and the sliding around truth and turning around here and pretending this isn't right and that's not. Listen, our job is to do right. That's what Christ did. You say, well, I can't believe God has to suffer like that. But listen, this suffering is nothing compared to the glory that is to come. In fact, the greater the suffering is here, the greater the glory will be. No one suffered more. No one came down more. Nobody was humbled more than Jesus Christ. And no one will be more exalted than Him. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying live by the Word of God by faith. But I haven't seen it. Nope. Abraham never saw the promised land. But he stayed out there in it. We're not living for this time. We're living for that time. Now, do you believe it or not? That's the question. Letter C. I have said this so many times, but here it is. Victory is not in the fight, but in our surrender to the Lord. If I fight, I'm fighting alone. If I surrender to God and have to do with Him, then He fights my battles for me. We are not to fight the situation, but put the situation into the Lord's hands by continuing to simply do right in all things, whether they appear to be helping our situation or not, or even appear to be making things worse. I think you got number two there. Do you have a number two there? Or number one? We need to fight our own inclinations to trust the flesh, because we will mess things up. We need to fight our own inclinations. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you been in a position where you're getting false accused, you're getting hurt, you're being attacked, you're being demeaned, you've had your authority undermined, you've got all these things are going, and you say, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't even know how to pray. Lord, it's yours. What am I supposed to do? Right. Commit yourselves in the hands of Him who judges righteously. Wait on the Lord, I say, and fret not because of evildoers. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Trust in the Lord in all thy ways. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. But what if He's not directing me to go anywhere? Then you wait on the Lord. If He promises to direct your paths and He's not telling you to move, then your direction is to stay right where you are and do right. I can't be right. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let her patience have perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What's He doing? We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are called according to His purpose. What's He doing? He's making all things work together. He's forming us into His image. That's not right. How can I take that? Take it just like Jesus did, by committing it to Him who judges righteously. And you know what? Until we do that, when we lash back out, when our tongue starts going, you know what we're doing? We're fueling the fire of Him who thinks what we're doing is crooked, is crazy, stupid. Listen, we act like the world. The works of the flesh starts coming out. All of a sudden, we have stepped out of the blessing, of the spout where the blessing comes out. We're out on our own, and we're no longer representing Christ. But we say we do, and that's what that person's going to say. Well, see, if that's what Christ is, that's what Jesus is, that's what being a Christian is, I don't want to have anything to do with it. We've just lost ground, not gained ground. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Watch. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Was it, watch, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Now, this is what we're supposed to fight against. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist with guns and swords. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. When I'm reviled, I don't revile back. When you persecute, you don't persecute back. You leave it to Him who, in the hands of Him who judges righteously. Resist that. Watch. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I think it's interesting. It says they are accomplished. God's trying to grow all of us. You're not the only one in the whole world having a hard time. Well, you just never have any hard times. That's why you're happy. maybe there's somebody who's actually doing what the Bible said and has committed it into the hands of him who judges righteously. Are you okay? Yep. How can you say that? Everything's going haywire in your life. I know, but it's not in my hands. It's in his hands now. Not going to do me any good to worry about it. Be careful for nothing, but all things with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You're just being ignorant. No, I'm not being ignorant. I gave it to him. You know what the problem is? You don't believe he's going to do anything with it. Or you don't believe he can do anything with it. In fact, you're not so sure he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must, he that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. When I say diligently seek him, you know, when it comes to him, I hand it to him. Well, here's something, man, just piling up. Well, hand it to him. What, by going to give all those things, he's not going to know what to do with everything going over in the Middle East right now. He created the worlds in existence. All this little stuff is nothing. It's maintenance. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what? What if we were able to fix our problem? Who gets the glory? You know what we're saying to those out there who don't think God exists? They say, well, you don't need God either. He wants us to need him. God likes it because they see God working in your life. And they can say, wow, that's what I need. So I don't know if I've seen that around here. I know. I'm not sure I've seen much of that in my days on the earth. I know. But you know what? There's been a few folks. There's probably been a few folks over years, some old lady or some old man or whatever it is, been in a church you've been through, and said, well, I know that guy walks with God. And I know what he went through, but you know what? He always had a smile on his face. Whatever it was, he was always on the upside. He was a positive. But I must have been the way his personality was. Letter D. God has promised to help us fulfill our calling. God has promised to help us fulfill our calling. Number one, God's plan to make us into his, here it is, image, will most likely include some not so good things, along with some good things, but all things will work together for our good in the conforming of us into his image. The job is to make us into his image. There's some not so good things, there's some good things. But all things will work together. Now we've read all that, and I'm going to go through that in Romans 8:28 right now. Letter E. Tribulations are not signs that God has forsaken us. Tribulations are not signs that God has forsaken. Number one, tribulations are times when we see more clearly the love of God working in our lives. Let me say that again. Tribulations are the times when you really see God working. If you don't think you need him, by the way, he's working, but we don't think, we're not watching. You've heard me say it. You know, if this is the level of our income takes to get through life, and we're making this, and we have our up times and our bad times, but you know what? We're just kind of floating around the top of that. There's no problem. But I'll tell you what, when you're living right here all the time, sometimes you got a little extra, sometimes you don't have enough to go around, but somehow God gets you through. That tribulation is when you see God working the best. When you've got a relationship with somebody, you just don't know how you're going to do it, but you just kind of get through another day. God's getting you through. Remember this, verse 35 of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I mean, we have troubles. And we're just trying to live for God. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, tribulations come. What do? You commit it into him who's in the hands of him who judges righteously, because nothing is separating you from the love of God. Not the tribulation, not the problem, not the persecution, not the unethical way someone is dealing with you, not the false accusations, not being sold into slavery, being sold out by your family. You still are not separated from the love of God. So what's he doing? He's making all things work together for good, that we may be conformed into the image, so that we can answer the call of Christ on our life, so that when people see us, they say, the child of God. God's all over that guy. At the same time they're persecuting, they're also getting presented with a picture of Christ. Verse 6, God's work in us, here it is, to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ will result in us being more like Christ. Duh. But we need, for some reason, we need to say this. His work in this to conform us is so that we'll be like Christ. Letter A, if we are more like Christ, we will be able to approach life and deal with the difficult times like Christ, and they will mold us into his image. I know we're late. I'm going to finish this thing here. Hang tight. It won't take long. I know we're late. Number one, and letter B, the image of Christ includes the fruit of the Spirit. Now watch me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. And what you do to me doesn't matter. I got my sights on something bigger and higher. I committed myself to him who judges righteously. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. When our enemies, watch, let us see, you ready? When our enemies hate us, the fruit of the Spirit says we're called to love. And we can, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. If we're walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're walking in the flesh, fulfilling the work of the flesh, we're not going to see the Spirit. Letter D, when we are called to suffer, we can have joy. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. See, love means life is not about us, but it's about others. When it was all said and done, Joseph looked back and he told his brothers, I know you meant this for evil. God meant it for good. And I'm willing to go along with God's plan. You mean they got away with it? Hey, listen. I'm fine with God. That's all that matters. In fact, if I'm not willing to take this, I'm not as fine with God as I should be. Letter E. When we are called to exercise courage. Remember, courage is not fearlessness. Courage is moving on in truth and righteousness when you're scared. It's not the lack of fear. It's moving on in the face of fear. I don't understand this, but I do know this. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I don't know how we're going to get done, but I'm going to commit my life into the hands of him who judges righteously. That's what courage is. Courage is not saying, boy, I can beat this thing. No, courage is God knows. And he's still working all things together for good to those who love God and call to him according to his purpose. When we are called to exercise courage, God gives us peace. Because our lives are in the hands of him who judges righteously. Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He's right there. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's he saying there? Christ is at hand. Be careful for nothing but in prayer and supplication. What am I doing? I'm committing unto him who judges righteously. That's what you're doing when in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known. That's what you're doing. You're committing it into his hands. And he said, if you commit him in your hands, he will give you the peace. If you don't come up with the peace that goes beyond knowledge, it goes beyond understanding, you have not yet committed it to him. Now, you can get a peace, and a little later in the day, we'll give it to him again. Because you know what happened? You've just kind of relived it. Well, then you need to re-give it. You relive it 10 times a day, you give it to him 10 times a day. Have you ever had something come up in your mind? It's like it's fresh, it's new, and it just works you up all over again. Well, then give it to him. Letter F. When we are called to care for others, he cared for his brothers. Why should he care about his brothers? Give them food, let them die. He was called to care for others. God gives us long suffering and temperance. I'm telling you. God will give us long suffering and temperance. Letter G, when we are called to serve, God gives meekness and gentleness and goodness. Go back and read Joseph's life. Who was he serving? A prison guard? Somebody who bought him as a slave? With meekness and goodness and gentleness. Letter H, when we are called to surrender, God gives faith. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? We're going to commit ourselves to him who judges righteously. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Watch. And let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But I'm not seeing it. Doesn't matter. We'll reap if we faint not. We are called to glory and virtue. The glory of the Father, the virtue of the Son. Now, I think that many people, including Christians, think that living a life of faith simply means knowing you're going to heaven when you die because you've trusted Jesus as Savior. I think that's what they think, living a life of faith. That's where I'm going to heaven. That was one instance when you exercised faith and received the death of Jesus Christ as full payment for your sin. And he gave you the gift. And he gives you the gift. You've got the gift of eternal life. In that one instance, you exercised faith. And he gave it to you. He will not take it back. A life of faith is a continuation. See, that is when we receive Christ, it's only the beginning of a life of faith. A life of faith is living by faith. The just are to live by faith. Every decision is a matter of faith and obedience to a certain extent. Anything that's not of faith, the Bible says it's sin. And how in the world did Joseph handle what life threw at him? Somehow Joseph simply committed his life to him who judges righteously. He stood in Genesis 50, he stood there in front of his family and said unto them, says, fear not. They were scared. Oh my soul, he's head of things in Egypt. He's gonna ring us up, he's gonna hang us. says, don't worry. He says, wait a minute. Fear not, for I am in the place of God. I'm sorry. Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Question mark. Joseph said, I know what you're thinking. And be honest with you, I've thought it too. But am I God? You see, vengeance is mine, say the Lord, he will repay. He says, am I God? Every time we take vengeance, we're playing God. Every time we say we're going to get back at him, we're playing God. Flee idolatry, even when it's you that you're worshiping. He says, am I in place of God? He says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The thing about Joseph is that he parallels Jesus in so many ways. Joseph came unto his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men. He appeared to be smitten of God and afflicted, not for what he did, but he was bruised for the transgressions of others, if you will. He was falsely accused and imprisoned. And yet Joseph appears to have left his situation in the hands of him who judges righteously without trying to fight the situation or the people involved. And just as God put a call on the life of Joseph to work God's plan in God's power for God's purpose, and it will come to pass just like God, who cannot lie, has promised, God has put a call on our lives, and one that can only be fulfilled by living a life of faith, allowing God to live his plan out in us and through us, and we will see the glory and the virtue through it, though it may take us through difficult times. That's okay. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Know the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, Philippians 2 says, if any comfort or love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, what? Made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even to death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. God will equip us if we will yield to the Holy Spirit. But every time we decide to do it on our own, we've yielded to the flesh and not the Spirit. Well, how do you yield to the Spirit? You do right and leave it in the hands of him who committed, you've committed to him who judges righteously. I don't think that'll work. You're not trusting God to do it. And you're not going to have the peace that passes understanding. Well, I don't think I'm going to have any peace, but I put something in his hands. I don't think I'm going to have a whole lot of peace. Well, then you still haven't with all your heart put it in his hands. The peace doesn't come directly from having put it. The peace comes from God. Because you put it in his hands. In other words, like, I've committed over there, but why not feeling real good about it? That's like giving a five-year-old a $100 bill. Well, I put it in his hands, and I'm not feeling real good about it. Well, you shouldn't. But I can put my $100 in the hands of God, and I should be able to feel just fine about it. First of all, he gave me the $100. And secondly, he knows what to do with it. And thirdly, he's promised to provide all my needs, with or without the $100. You follow me? I know it's late. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, help us have a life of faith. Not just a life that gets salvation, but a life that lives by faith. We are called to do so. And Lord, we thank you that you will equip us to do that if we, by faith, we will step out and obey you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed.